sports. Sports scores. Sports news. Sports stories. And if there's time, even sports opinions. It's the Sports Dump with Will Penelope.
Me. All right, and here we go. That's all right. The thing just ended. This is the Sports Dump Podcast Combo / Sports Widow Podcast, because we have the Sports Widow with us. Oh, my God. We're not starting again. We don't have enough time. I'm Joe Canale, joined with the Sports Widow, Molly Erdman.
Hi.
And for our special World Cup preview edition, we have the unlikely fan, Brendan Hunt.
Hello.
Hello, Brendan.
Am I the dump widow in this scenario?
The dump widow.
The widow of dumps.
I guess that too.
Yeah, widows and dumps in here. There's a lot of unflattering terms. Well, that widow is not unflattering. It is what it is. Unless you killed them. Then it's bad.
It's not so much unflattering as sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a difference.
Yeah.
Now, Brendan, do you actively run that Twitter page with the unlikely fan stuff?
No. I mean, it's still alive.
Sure.
And I occasionally will
here and there, but it's not.
But yeah,
it's not your raison d'être.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
No, not my reason for trees.
Yep. I assume that's what that is. Good. I'm glad I had that translation right. So you are our resident soccer expert, both because you're here in our residence and just of the Sports Dump community at large, and really probably of anyone I know for the most part, other than maybe some of those Dutch guys who play with Hans in that little soccer thing he does.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm like what passes for a soccer expert in a given group of friends.
Sure.
In America, but not an actual soccer expert.
Okay, so you'd say, like, in England, you'd just be one of the mates.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe even just a lad.
Just a lad, even. Wow. Okay. You know? Wow. That shows the difference. We got a lot of catching up to do here, then. If you're just a lad, I mean, I don't know what I am.
I've at least thought a lot about it. And from learning about soccer so much in Amsterdam, where we lived
yes.
in the late 20th century and early 21st
right,
century.
Right. Crossing over.
I did get enough into it where I feel like I'm a bit of a soccer missionary, and there are still hardcore soccer fans in America still don't get this, really, but there's still millions upon millions of sports fans in America who just don't get soccer at all, and some of those want to.
My father amongst them, and it's funny, Bob Ryan, the oldest working columnist in...
Yeah, I believe he has a Nobel Prize.
Bob Ryan.
Probably not a Nobel Prize.
Or like a Pulitzer or
a
something.
Pulitzer,
like.
For Pulitzer. Sure.
Pulitzer. Yeah. A Pulitzer.
I mean, anyone can get a Pulitzer.
Nuclear.
It's your raison d'etre.
Nutre. I just got a list of foreign words I'm trying to learn to pronounce today.
You got to use them.
English
How many
words.
Times do you have to
a
use a
English
word
words.
To make it yours?
10,000, right?
No.
But you have
hours.
To say it for an hour.
You have to say the
you
word
have
for
to say the word
hours.
For. Yes, right. Raison d'etre. Now, the phrase, is that the... Anyway.
Oh, boy.
Point being, I lost the point.
Bob Ryan.
Pulitzer.
Was saying he, like my father, both want offsides taken out of soccer.
Interesting. They line up with Marco van Basten, actually.
So van Basten says that.
Yeah.
Oh, and he and Marco van Basten, I believe, is one of the greatest Dutch players, but his career was cut short from ankle injuries. Guys kept going at him.
He was the Gale Sayers.
Oh, my goodness. And that is a nice preview of what we're going to be doing in this episode. Brendan is very good at translating, and over the past few World Cups, he's done this, where in order to make it easier maybe to digest or to kind of choose your team, he's going to make some parallels with the teams that are in the World Cup and some American sports franchises you may be more familiar with. So that will make it easier. And
it's going to be great for me.
Yeah, you're really unfamiliar with probably all of these franchises. You know the Yankees, the Cubs. You get stuff like that.
Yeah, I know names of teams.
But you also know what is the reputation of the Yankees, for example?
Assholes.
No, the greatest franchise in the history of sports. The Canadians could make that claim, but... Okay, yeah, I guess Man United. In the history of American sports, certainly. Done. No arguments there. And assholes is another side reputation. But the Cubs, what is their reputation? Until very recently.
Lovable losers.
There you go, except for the lovable part.
Okay.
Exactly.
A lot of this seems very subjective.
Yes.
No, I think this is it.
Yeah, well,
this is court-ready testimony
yes,
right
and
here.
And Brendan is a White Sox fan, so he'll agree with me on that.
I have no allegiance to any team.
In the World Cup?
In general.
Yes,
and
I know.
That's probably
it's
my greatest strength.
Today, in this podcast, it certainly is. And
yeah.
It is your greatest strength, and yet it is our podcast's greatest weakness.
Ah.
No, it's not. All right, so let's get right into it. So did you peruse the Sports Illustrated?
Listen, I tried.
Yeah.
First of all, it's very dense. And I think already it. So I'm looking at the Sports Illustrated World Cup preview.
Yes.
And I'm automatically drawn to, if anyone is reading along at home, there's this like thing I'm very drawn to typically, which is this kind of like game board.
Yeah,
like a flowchart.
Do you like this? Then
sure.
Go to this.
Right.
And right out of
flow
the gate,
charts are they are the crossword puzzles of today.
Well, and I usually like them, but this one is indecipherable. Like
yeah.
it is.
Well, that's what I mean.
I could not make heads or tails of it, so I've abandoned that.
Great.
So I do like having same thing with like March Madness. The
yeah.
reason I like it is because I have someone to root for.
Yes.
And so I would like someone to root for.
Sure.
All I've done so far is eliminate one team. And I'll tell you.
Oh, eliminating is a good way to do it.
I'll tell you who and why, and it's not for a good reason. I'm eliminating Egypt.
Whoa!
Because I really hate this trend of people sticking their tongues out for pictures. I really hate it.
That is, I've heard of some superficial
yes.
reasons before.
That is
that's amazing.
So
Mo Salah is like
yes.
legitimately.
He's the great.
I'm not a Liverpool fan.
No.
Obviously not an Egypt fan. I ain't from there, but I've been there. But he is like a figure of pure joy.
He is.
And if there's one guy who is legitimately sticking his tongue out, it's Mo
okay.
Salah.
I'll take that. I'll take that. I find it to be very contrived sometimes.
Not in him.
You don't even have. I'm not even trying to shake you.
Okay.
I'm just trying to let you know.
Do you know Michael Jordan used to stick his tongue out?
Yeah. I don't want to get into a thing about.
I do this when I'm really into one of my real low stakes athletic events that I treat real too seriously. I do this a lot when I'm running.
Yeah, I know.
If you can't see, I'm biting my tongue and sticking it out. It's very ugly.
Yeah. No, but I'm talking more about and if this is
it's fine to eliminate Egypt because they may get out of their group.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, tongues are not attractive. But the thing I have more of an issue with is I think it's become a very contrived, like, selfie
right,
thing.
Right, right.
With people
like
doing,
duck
like,
face. It's
I feel
the
like
new
Miley
duck
Cyrus
face.
Sort of launched that in a way.
Putting her tongue out?
Yeah, and taking pictures, and I don't like it. I know I couldn't sound older right now.
Oh, look at him with his tongue out.
I don't need to
I
see
know.
That.
Put Egypt on the list of teams
they're
I'm
off.
Not rooting for.
And this is not a good reason, but his tongue. It
well,
does sound like.
It's only because I have no other reasons.
Sure. And you know what? At a certain point, you need to just maybe make up reasons.
Well, it's just like with March Madness. You're going based on mascots part of the time.
Yes.
So I'm always going to go for the Shockers.
You know, I think, Molly, one thing we can do while we're doing
yeah.
this is. Just put an X on this list as you go, and
yeah.
maybe we'll eliminate some, and we'll get you down to some that you
that's
might
a great
okay
idea.
With. So cross
okay.
off Egypt
okay.
there.
Okay, all right.
We've crossed one off, folks. There are only, what is it, there's 128 teams in the tournament?
32, Joe.
Yeah, okay. I knew that.
I'm here to help.
I knew that. They're going up to 48, though, next World Cup.
Two World Cups from now.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Now, that's to just really make sure the U.S. gets in, right? It's,
yeah,
it's like we've done everything we could.
Well, that's the thing about the U.S. not getting in is the system in our region, CONCACAF, is literally designed to make it just about impossible for the U.S. and Mexico, U.S. or Mexico, to miss out.
And how
somehow we found a way.
And how is that? Because they could either win the tournament or they could win like some other.
Because we are without question the top two teams in the region, and the top three teams get in, and
right.
the fourth place team still has a chance in the playoff.
Right.
We didn't even make that.
Right.
We could have
right.
played Australia to try to get in. Australia, who are terrible.
And didn't Costa Rica beat Australia?
No. Australia beat.
Oh yeah, because Australia's in.
Yeah.
Wow. So Honduras. Made that fourth slot.
Yeah.
Were we fifth?
I believe we were fifth out of six.
Oh, God.
Panama, right?
Panama got in.
Oh, shit. Who lost?
Trinidad.
And Tobago?
Both of them. They were 6th and 7th. Let's move
on. Wait, are those two different teams?
No, Joe.
Oh, okay. Got it. All right, so moving on. Great, we've eliminated Egypt, and at this rate, this will be a 158-minute podcast. No, we're going to we're gonna get through it a lot quicker. So how do we proceed here?
Well, let me talk about like what the idea was for
yes.
the blog. So starting eight
years ago. And can they find this to look back?
Yes, if you search for The Unlikely Fan on blogger.com, I think it was called.
Sure.
I mean, it's still there, a Blogspot.
Oh, yeah. That's big. Oh. It's still big.
Yeah. You'll probably still find
MySpace.
They're still around. But the notion was to try to take each team that was in the World Cup and describe them in non-specific terms as much as possible, and then on the other side of the description, give you the American or North American sports team that also fits that description.
Nice. Great.
And why don't we start with like, then I did it again 4 years later. And 4 years later, I was like, I got to make them all different teams. Mm. But on a lot of those teams, I was right the first time.
Yes, and those teams don't change. You know what I mean?
Some of them do. Their fortunes change, or the team they were attached to changes.
Right, but sometimes they don't.
Sometimes they don't.
The Spurs have been the Spurs for 25 years.
Yes.
And so could Brazil could have been Brazil for 25 years, though they have not been.
Now I'm in a weird philosophical place. I don't know.
Like Italy's always been a bunch of guys who foul you and pretend to get fouled all the time.
Yes, many countries have, but they do it better than anyone.
They sure do.
Which, yeah, they were the Spurs in the first one. Not just for the fouling, but for the professionalism.
Absolutely. No one's more professional than an Italian.
So some of these were right the second time, and I go with the second one. Either way, there'll be some repeaties here because if you know when we're right, so let's just stick with them.
That's no need to change for change's sake.
You want to go like through like the big teams, the favorites?
Yeah, that's a great way to start, and then we can go into the more marginal upsetters. That's a great idea.
Cool. And we probably won't get through every team today.
No,
but that's fine.
No.
All right, so with Brazil, I was right the first time, and I'll just read straight from the from that year's blog. If we go strictly by terms of dominance, we would have to go with the Yankees or even the Canadiens. But Brazil is more than dominance. They are also glamour, style, and exuberance. They are known for their amazing offensive displays, but this overshadows a history of champions who have relied on defense to kickstart those attacks. Plus, they have yellow shirts. There's only one choice here. Brazil is the LA Lakers.
Ooh.
And like not quite like the Lakers of today in their rebuilding phase, but like the historical. Like what do you think of the Lakers, Molly, when you think of the Lakers?
Generally?
Sure.
I don't mean there's a lot of legends coming from the Lakers.
Yes. Showtime?
I was just going to say.
Darn, you should have.
Well, you beat me to it.
Glamour and like oh my gosh, how did they do that? Brazil. Yes. That's Brazil.
Absolutely. What was that?
Rapists.
and maybe one rapist every 20 years or so.
Sure, and you gotta guess Brazil's probably got a record about like that there too.
Well, they have a weirder record. They have like Ronaldo once took a transvestite.
Yeah,
it was the term used at the time.
Sure.
Hooker back to his apartment and then discovered that there was a bit of confusion there.
Yep.
And that somehow was in the newspapers the very next day.
Right.
Wow.
And Ronaldinho, isn't he marrying two women or wasn't that?
He says he's not marrying two women.
Okay.
But, you know, I support non-traditional.
Hey, you know, whatever works for them.
Civil union structures.
Absolutely. And I think that's a good parallel. And the Lakers of next year with LeBron and Chris Paul.
Yes. They'll be as Brazilian as it gets. So here's another one that I think I got right the first time, which is France.
Oh, yes. Again, a favorite.
Yes. Some undeniably great players have been on this blue-clad team, a team that has provided the sport with some of its defining matches and greatest plays. But something about them drives the neutral fan crazy. Almost nobody who's not from there roots for them, which they bring on themselves for being a little snooty and by so often being the recipient of grossly questionable calls by the refs. France is Duke basketball.
Oh, yes. Oh. I like it.
Yeah.
Because you want to have something to hate.
Joe hates Duke basketball.
Oh, he so
which I think is funny for someone who's a Yankees fan. Because to me, there's a similar vibe.
No. No.
Keep going, Molly.
No. Well, there is the Dukies, you know, there has to be a grudging respect for like wise ass trolls, which is the only thing Duke fans are good for. But beyond that, Yankee fans are much more knowledgeable and better. Going on.
All right.
But yeah, it's good to root against. And France has some players that are real. Is Ribéry French?
Yes, but I don't think he's in the squad this year.
Oh, he's not.
I should have.
No one looks more French than
no
him.
No surprise that you don't like France, Joe, after mangling their language raison d'etre.
You know, hating France is my raison de hatred.
We went on our honeymoon there.
Yes.
Okay.
I remember. It was a great time. I got food poisoning the last day.
Did you? Hatred. Oh, you became a dump widow.
I did. Yeah. Oh, I was a dump widow that day. Boy, I didn't get out of the bathroom.
I guess really I was the dump widow.
Oh, you were.
I was on my own that
you
day.
You were. We didn't get to go to the Musée d'Orsay. Was that pronounced all right?
Right on.
That's it's the one I really wanted to go to, too.
I have an unfortunate dump story from France as well.
Oh.
Some other time.
Okay. Oh, I have one from the Art Institute of Chicago, actually.
Oh.
With my daughter, again, for another time.
You know, it's just good. We should remind ourselves every time we're at the most beautiful places in the world, someone is having a dump nightmare.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All I'm going to say is expired yogurt led to mine.
Mine was a too hastily drunk Diet Coke. When the bodyguard, when the bouncer at the Eiffel Tower was like, "You're gonna bring the what? It's fine. Chug right in front of him because I'm defiant and I throw it in the garbage. Ha! Tell me not to drink my
Oh my god!
Becky, we gotta go. We gotta go. And then Anywho,
moving on.
So
nice to get those little stories in there.
Let's talk about Spain because I kind of got them right in the first time too.
Now and let me just ask. Am I right in assuming Spain is kind of in their sunset of their, you know, they're there?
No, I don't think they are.
Oh, here we go.
In fact,
then.
This very Sports Illustrated that Molly is holding predicts them to win.
Boing.
Yeah.
Looks like I didn't read it.
Because they keep bringing in new, great young players.
Okay, then. And so help me out here. Give me. Are they still doing the tic-tac-toe?
The tiki-taka?
Sure.
They're doing like a modified tiki-taka, yeah. But that's why they're still good, is that they're all still being brought up the same way. Like, they're kind of doing... what U.S. was trying to get done under Klinsmann, which is, you know, have a style of play that is basically set from
and then people fit in there,
and then
right?
Teaching it all the way up.
Xavi Alonso.
Those are two different Xavis, by the way.
I know. That's just them kicking the ball back and forth. That was the whole World Cup two World
Alonso.
Cups ago.
All right. So getting into Spain, but in making this list, keeping in mind that. I equated continental championships as almost as important as a World Cup.
Absolutely.
Like winning the European trophy, especially because it's every 4 years, is a big deal. The African Cup and the South American Cup, which is has a different name, Copa America, happen so much more often. They're not quite as precious.
Yes.
But Spain...
And the competition in the European Cup, those are, I mean, many powerhouses.
There are more powerhouses in Europe,
right.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Right.
So here's what I said about Spain. I'll modify it for what we got now. After decades of torturing their fans with mind-boggling losses and historical disappointments, they finally got their shit together last time out and brought home a trophy. All the tortured ghosts are now banished. They still basically have that same side. Okay, so this isn't quite true. It's not quite true. But here's the main thing: is they were a shit show, a torturing shit show, when they should have been so much better for decades upon decades. And getting held down by the thumb of their greatest rivals. But now, in the 21st century, they've won trophies, if you include the European Championship, three times. So they are the Boston Red Sox.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Well, then there's a reason to root against them, then.
That's for you.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe that make fits. Them a little more interesting to Molly.
That fits, actually. Well, certainly our daughter will, I'm sure, will pick up on whatever team I don't want to win. Although she usually waits to see who's winning and then goes for that team.
Yeah. Well,
it's a smart. Yeah, the Red Sox. Now, wasn't Arsenal compared to the Red Sox? They made the movie.
They made Fever Pitch.
Which was originally about Arsenal.
An Arsenal story into a Red Sox,
story. Yeah. Right.
I saw that movie.
The Red Sox kind of ruined that movie by winning the World Series while it was being filmed. I mean, did that movie really have a chance? I don't know. But
outside of Boston. So Spain, yeah. And so they still just give me who are their three new young hot shots that I don't know about from this.
Isco was on the team this year.
Sure, Isco.
And that other young striker from Real Madrid, whose name begins with an S. I mean, I assume with an M. I forget his name. But yeah, they're bringing up younger guys now.
Okay, and a lot of those guys do stay in the Spanish league as well. The Spanish national players,
or they play with huge teams somewhere else.
Yes,
they play either.
They like them being on
Chelsea,
the top of the world stage.
Azpilicueta is on the team. Poor Hector Bellerin couldn't even make the team here. I'm bringing him up here.
And I wanted to ask about that, too, because there was some talk about guys who didn't make it in. But when we get to Germany, I have a question about a guy who didn't make it in.
Well, we can get to Germany now, because Germany was one that I got wrong the first time.
Uh-oh.
Well, no, I was right, actually, the first time, but they have since changed. Because what I had to say about them the first time was that they were the Dallas Cowboys. Because they were the powerhouse who hadn't won in a long time.
Got it. And then they did win.
And then they did win. So let's look at what I said about them 4 years ago, because I think this is going to be correct here.
Right.
A truly dominant team, and when they are hoisting trophies, it's rarely because they have the best player. They have the best squad, all the way down to the end of the bench.
Very German.
but for a demanding team such as this, too many years have passed since they last won a title.
That
changed. Anyway, so yeah, they're about calculation and tiny, like, micro fundamental dominance. And they're the New England Patriots.
That's what I was okay.
And this year that I posted this, I believe Germany won the World Cup.
They did?
And the Patriots won the Super Bowl. So I feel pretty good about that.
That fits pretty nicely. And there's probably, you know, a very secret doping program behind their success in both instances. So that works out really well.
Boy, Joe is just loving Boston talk.
That is just speculation in the case of the German national team.
Wow.
The Patriots did have a guy fail a drug test, and they have a doctor who runs their program who's not an actual doctor, apparently, so... There's some shaky stuff going on there.
Oh, Marco Asensio is the guy I was thinking of.
There we go. Now, why isn't the guy from Man City on the German team?
Which guy?
The winger.
David Villa?
No. German.
Oh, Leroy Sané.
Sané.
He apparently hasn't quite been good enough for Germany. Like, he's been incredible for Man City, but in Germany, he doesn't have... good, basically, stats for them. You know,
really?
Does he not fit
their style?
They might not be using him right, you know, but also you never know when
he's a finesse player, right?
No, he's a pretty aggressive attacking player. I don't know if he's a big tackler, per se.
Okay.
But you never know when an old German coach, and Yogi Löw's getting a little old now, suddenly says, like,
be careful.
I do not like this young player. He is too flashy. You wonder if they're really being objective.
Yes. I gotcha.
Yeah.
This is not on the level of a Kaepernicky type thing, but more just of a flashy player.
It's not a Kaepernick type thing at all. No.
It's just, you know, when you start saying old style German, and then it just makes you
makes you go straight to saying that all NFL owners are Nazis.
I think that's an appropriate jump to make. I think that's fair, right?
I mean, I think it's unfair to Germans to compare.
Yes. Let's not demean Germany by comparing them to NFL owners. They, you know, they're not inhuman. They're not Jerry Jones, for God's sake. You know, Jerry Jones has definitely got a dead homeless guy's skin on his body somewhere.
Jesus.
Like that's like real human transplant stuff going on in his face.
That's fun. Molly.
Moving on.
So let's get to some of the other big teams, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so Argentina?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Argentina, I feel like I haven't quite got right.
That's my team.
And they're tricky.
That's my team.
So here's the thing in Argentina, Molly. Argentina haven't won at all since the 80s. But they are historically one of, like, the exemplars of the game, of the rich history, and some of the actual best players ever. And they currently have a guy on the team who is one of the best ever.
You know who that
position.
Is.
Messi.
Yes. And, Valerie's favorite player.
And his career shouldn't need the validation of finally winning. And last time, they were runners-up.
Into the mic.
And last time, they were runners-up.
There we go.
And he shouldn't need the validation, but that one player in particular, winning it would make it very clear that he is perhaps the best ever at his position.
Yeah.
Which is why I've come to believe that Argentina is the Dodgers.
Oh, Kershaw. The transcendent player who can't. And now Messi has delivered. Has he underperformed in these situations?
Until the last World Cup, it was said so,
okay.
Yeah. Like,
and has he won the South American Cup ever?
No.
Oh, so he has not had national success.
No.
He's had a lot at Barcelona with his club through that run of Champions League, right?
Yeah,
they won
a
few of those. So he got that done. But, wow. He was way ahead of Ronaldo, seemingly, a few years ago.
Yes, and now Ronaldo has won 4 of the last 5.
Right.
And Ronaldo,
what's the age
won
difference?
The European Championship. So,
oh, that's
I think
right.
Ronaldo is like 2 years older.
Ronaldo's older.
Yeah, because Messi came out. When Messi came out, he was like 17, and Ronaldo actually was like 18 when he came out. But he just had a couple years head start with Man U.
Okay.
How old is Messi?
He's 31 or 33. I can tell you that here.
Wow. Okay.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yes. Well, so that's the group I'm going for, Molly, I like Messi because, like Salah, he's like a little guy who they had to give him growth hormone, actually, because he was only going to be
as
like 5'1". Yeah, well, as a kid,
he's
Barcelona took him from Argentina and his family at like, what, age 7 or something. 12 or 13, put him into their program, did these like medical procedures to help him grow because he was such an amazing talent.
It was, I think, called the Super Soldier Serum.
Oh, yes.
God.
He's Captain Argentina. I was telling
Wait,
Brendan.
How tall is he now?
He's probably about
7'1". It went horribly wrong.
It produced. It actually produced Yao Ming, and then Messi grew off of Yao Ming, and they cut him off.
Yeah, he was originally a goiter, and he
still has the shakiness of a goiter.
Without question, the most talented goiiter in sports history.
Oh my God!
Yeah, he's
one
got
of
that
the top three.
Yeah, he's 5'7".
Yep.
Okay.
30 years old.
Oh, only 30. Great. So he has a couple more years before he comes
he
to America.
He probably doesn't have another. Yeah, but he probably doesn't have another World Cup left.
After this one.
Yeah.
He could as like a sub, as like the guy who comes.
Yeah, but
he,
can a guy like that come back as a sub? I don't know.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. So and then just to confirm, Ronaldo is 33, yeah.
Okay. So, wow, I didn't know he was that much older than Messi. So, other reasons to root for Argentina. I have a nylon Argentina jersey. It is really poorly made and very, very hot. So I can't wear it.
Wow.
And as I told Brendan earlier, their politics is a good reason to root for Argentina.
Oh, yeah,
well.
Real good.
Nice, nice country.
Also, we used to live in Holland, and the royal family, the prince married an Argentinian woman.
Look at that.
There you go.
I don't think I can root for the same team as you. That doesn't seem as fun.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Wow.
So have we checked anything off, or you made anything more that
know.
You're into?
Okay, we've got a few more. Well, those are kind of the powerhouses.
Yeah.
Why don't you go to a few of the more popular teams, such as maybe, why don't you mention England at least?
England. So England, I had two different things about them the last two. And the thing is, I think they're both right, depending on how you look at England.
Sure.
So if you have a positive view of England, you might feel a romantic sense of England that like they are some of the guardians of the game who play it the right way and always have. And you might look back to their great teams and their their domineering coaches in almost mythical terms and feel like there's something homespun and correct about them, and therefore you might feel like England is Indiana Hoosiers basketball.
Harkening back to the era when all white teams could still win championships.
Joe, you sound weirdly nostalgic. But if you think England's a bit tiresome because of that attitude and like how maybe that's romantic and not realistic, you might feel like, boy, they had that one title that they won in the 60s, and they really cling to that as if that was the best team ever. But we know it wasn't, and maybe they shouldn't deify that one team, and they should look at themselves more accurately, and their fans shouldn't be so cocky about themselves. Well, then you might say that England is the New York Jets.
Ooh,
and I think the truth is somewhere between the two, and it's really about how you look at England.
Yeah.
And now I'm really kind of down the middle. Like I say that with great affection because, you know, I have so many English friends and love English football, and I have a soft spot for the English team. And I like giving shit to English football just a little bit. But it would be amazing if England won.
Oh, yes, it would. It would. And it's not outside the realm. It's not outside the realm, but it's
just about outside the realm. It would be a major shock. They have a good young team who are all of their heads in the right place, and their coach, I think, has his head in the right place.
But it'd still
be a big
upset.
They could make a run, but for them to actually win
over,
France or Germany or Brazil,
much
that would
better
be insane.
I was thinking you were going to say they were the Bears, because that reminds me a little of a Bears fan, that 85 team. Although that team, to be fair, was the offense wasn't great, but that was a great, 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 great team.
Yeah,
we'll say that.
I think a tiebreaker there was that the Jets won when it was in the 60s and the Bears won.
That's true.
In the 80s.
And has England been as inept as the Jets since?
At times.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last World Cup, they didn't win a single game.
Yes, right. That was disappointing.
Yeah.
Oof. Okay. All right. So that's so those are kind of the well-known, powerhousey, big name teams, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Why don't you just quickly name the teams that are insignificant, have no chance of advancing, and aren't interesting enough to root for, just to mention them.
Because that'll be what I pick from.
Okay. Okay, well, I don't have everyone quite figured out yet, but here's a few.
Sure, just to cross a couple off. I mean.
Switzerland.
Yeah.
They've really never been a powerhouse, but like you kind of root for them, and all their parents are probably rich.
Yes.
And suddenly they've been good a little bit consistently lately.
Okay.
Switzerland is Northwestern football.
I like it.
Senegal. Senegal is not really known even in their patch of the world as a power, but
they are the third ranked team in Senegal, in fact.
That's good. In the early 21st century, they set out one of the biggest upsets in the history of the sport. And now you look at them and like, hold on, this is a decent program. So Senegal is Appalachian State.
Oh, and good. That takes a shot at Michigan as well.
Yep, yep. And
who's
Senegal
their best player?
In France. Right now, my man Mane, Sadio Mane.
Oh,
from
Mane
Liverpool.
From Liverpool,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, who just scored in the Champions League final.
He did.
Saudi Arabia.
Team to root for their politics.
Yes, 100%. Isn't it? It's a real sign of like how great the world is right now that the opening game of the World Cup is Russia versus Saudi Arabia.
And that Qatar is going to be hosting the next one.
Don't get me started. Saudi Arabia, they're again, not a powerhouse in their own patch, really.
Nope.
They hardly ever make the World Cup. But
they
had one play in the 90s that goes down as one of the great plays in the history of the sport. That's kind of all they're known for.
What was the play in their instance?
Well, I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay, give me the comparison.
But letting you know that Saudi Arabia, and again, this is not only for that historical thing, but for your expectation of how good they will do. Saudi Arabia is Valparaiso.
Oh, the Drew family.
Yes, the Bryce Drew play, and then I forget the name of the Saudi Arabia player, but in a game against Belgium in the 94 World Cup, he ran the ball 2/3 of the field.
All the way down?
Yeah, it was Maradona-esque.
Really?
Yeah.
But from Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, yeah.
Holy cow.
Should we talk about Russia?
Let's sure. Why not? I mean, everyone else is.
So Russia.
I recuse myself.
Nice. Topical.
Russia. Well, if I'd known she was going to recuse herself.
I know. We never would have had her. We'd have gotten a different widow.
Russia. So only one home team in the history of the World Cup has failed to make it to the second round.
That
was South Africa.
Oh,
two World Cups ago.
Right. Serves them right.
Russia is very much in danger of doing it again, but they're in kind of a weak group. So they
isn't Saudi Arabia. Yeah, Saudi Arabia
and Egypt. And Saudi Arabia will not make it, but Egypt has a chance.
Based on one player.
Kinda. Well,
yeah. But he's good enough.
He's good. And Egypt has won, I think, three of the last five African titles. Like,
oh,
Egypt,
really?
Yeah, they just don't make the World Cup for some reason.
Interesting.
Anyway, so what Russia is also going to have is a dispirited, low expectations home country. Like, they're not a soccer country.
Right.
So their
right.
home support isn't even going to be that great.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's going to help them is going to be a breakout star performance by someone who is perhaps not getting his skills the same way everyone gets his skills.
Interesting.
Which is why I think Russia is the Beacon Hill Beavers, who are the team from Teen Wolf.
Oh.
So Russia has a really hairy dude on their team?
No, but it's going to take a really hairy dude for them to get anything done.
I gotcha.
Great.
Oh, my goodness. I like this.
I do too.
And if you've seen Icarus, the Academy Award-winning documentary on doping, you know that Russia's real into that kind of stuff.
Oh, they're making Teen Wolves left and right if they can.
I mean,
allegedly, FIFA's doping control is more aligned with the WDA than the Olympics at least was 8 years ago or 6 years ago, whenever that was. So
that's a better thing.
We'll see if that actually happens. But that's part of why Russia is not expected to do well, is because
they're not allowed to dope.
I mean, a cynical person feels that way about it. Yes.
I'm a cynical person.
Belgium is a bit of a surprise package, and Belgium is a situation
like when you get
chocolates.
Can I just
say that based on no knowledge, my instinct is that I want to root for Belgium.
Whoa, okay.
Well, that very Sports Illustrated you have predicts them as runners-up.
Yes, and I will say I chose them before I saw this. I didn't even see this page prior to 5 minutes ago, and then I felt very validated.
Okay.
Well, Belgium is fun. They have suddenly, just in the last 4 years, put together a really good team after having not been good in a very long time. I think they were semifinalists in 1982. But
yeah, I think so, too.
So
me too.
Belgium is the team that no one remembers as ever having been good, but Belgium can go like, no, we were good before. We were totally good before. Don't you remember? We were good that one time. And now suddenly they're an actual legitimate threat. So Belgium is the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, that's new for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was going to say, because Tom Coughlin. Do they have a Tom Coughlin type character on that squad? Who knows?
Not currently.
Running
no.
It?
No.
Are there any interesting coaches, if I can take a digression for a moment, who are like to watch on the sidelines? National coaches who may be of interest.
Well, Molly may. I think it's even in this magazine. Molly may be happy to know that Morocco's coach looks like Fabio's more intelligent brother.
What?
Oh, wow.
I can't imagine Fabio having
a
more intelligent brother.
He's a French
brother.
Dude who is like chiseled handsome and has like an open
Well, that's your type, Mo. Your type.
Yeah.
Chiseled handsome. more intelligent Fabio.
I don't know if it's in this magazine or in the
Let's
ESPN
see.
One, but if
well,
in Morocco.
Can you hear the pages turning, folks? You know we're working. So we've done Argentina, Australia.
Oh, Australia is
You're not going to want to root for them.
You're not going to want to root for them, but out of the love for all of our Australian friends, Australia is going to be a team of no importance, but they have one old guy who's there who's like maybe hanging on for too long, just trying to pack up some stats and maybe teach the youngsters a thing or two. Australia is the Durham Bulls from the film Bull Durham.
Okay.
And Tim Cahill is Crash Davis.
Tim Cahill. God, yes, I've heard that name. He has been around a long time.
Here you go, Morocco coach.
There you go,
Hervé Renard. Oh wow!
Yeah, look at that.
Whoa,
look at
take
that.
It easy.
Are there any buttons on that shirt for him to even
that,
button?
I mean,
he wears a buttonless
it's
shirt.
Tight. It's too tight. It's
Let me see.
Stretched across his.
I have shirts.
Like.
What's his name? Hervé Renard.
Holy shit!
Renard.
Wow. All right.
Wow, Joe, you got a little boner there for the Morocco coach, didn't you?
He is kind
of
handsome.
Fabio without having to have a bird run into him on a roller coaster.
Yes, and he has a better haircut than Fabio, too.
Yeah.
Fabio
sure,
ought to take
sleeker.
Fabio ought to take that picture to his barber and be like, "Hey,
give me this
guy." All right. So Belgium, I mean if though but I'll tell you, Maul, your Belgium's team itself I wouldn't say is the most attractive.
I don't care about
Oh,
who's that real tall dude? The goofy guy, Birdman, Big Bird.
Kevin De Bruyne?
No, De Bruyne. I love De Bruyne.
That's a mispronunciation, by the way, from English commentators. It's De Bruyne.
So I had it wrong.
No, because the announcers keep pronouncing it that way. But you know, like they keep calling him Johan Cruyff, but it's Johan Cruyff.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Anyway. It is Johan Cruyff.
What do you mean, Bird guy? Like Fellaini with the fro?
Fellaini.
Yeah.
He's got a big afro.
And that makes him a bird.
Well, he looks like Big Bird.
Oh, okay. Is it blonde?
No.
No.
So his
I mean,
okay. All right.
We can do better with nicknames.
The most judgmental head bob from Molly.
His what do you call it? His silhouette looks like Big Bird, okay?
Belgium is a legitimate route. They will be fun to watch. I would not begrudge you a Belgian cheer.
All right. So any like real long shots but a chance to get into the final 16.
A chance to get into the final 16.
For example, I'm wondering about Iceland, which I know a lot of people will probably adopt.
Iceland's very trendy right now.
It is. Well, they did well in the Euro Cup.
Yeah.
I don't mean in just sports-wise.
Oh,
I
yes.
I just mean in general. Everyone's going to Iceland.
Is that a suicide thing because there's so much suicide in Iceland?
No, that's Finland.
Topical.
Iceland are, they're fairly out of nowhere, but now they've been good just long enough that like people have to go like, are you actually good?
Right.
So Iceland, right. Iceland is the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Sure.
Exactly.
it worked. Yes. Proving.
They're a hockey team who have had some good runs, but not really making it very deep yet.
Yes. And both teams have been coached by John Tortorella.
A professional hockey, like an NHL team?
Yes.
Columbus is the biggest city in Ohio.
The Columbus Blue Jackets is a real team?
Yes. Yeah. Has been for over 10 years.
It's a kind of wasp.
Oh, my. Well, Yellow Jacket. I get that.
Right. But also in Ohio.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not surprised Columbus would have a team. I'm not surprised Blue Jacket would be the name of a team. But
the combination?
I've never heard of this team.
Well, look at this. We have instructed you in something. You now know one hockey team.
I'm rooting for them.
How about the teams in our region?
Yes.
So we got Mexico, of course.
Which is what the magazine.
People know what Mexico is.
Yeah.
Do they?
I think I was explaining Mexico.
As a concept?
Mexico is a country below.
So picture the U.S. Picture where we are.
Yes.
Mexico, I have mocked as you know, our rivals for a couple of blogs now, but I'm going to give them a little credit this year because they're in and we're not.
Exactly.
Mexico.
They can just say scoreboard.
A definitive home field advantage. Obviously, that won't help them this time, but they have great home support. But they're the kind of team where teams that are at their level or below them, they will outscore, they will beat up, they can really crush. But teams that are above their level aren't really threatened by them at all.
They play right to what they are.
Yeah. Mexico rarely upsets the favorite.
And rarely gets upset.
Exactly.
But they're just right in the middle.
Yes. So Mexico, I'm going Texas A&M football.
I like that. And as we've owned Texas A&M in our All Sports Fantasy League, that's for another podcast, folks, but I can feel you on that.
Yeah, the ups and the downs. Costa Rica, who don't make the World Cup that often, but they had a heck of a run last time, and now they're back.
And just so you know, folks, we're in the stretch run, although when you see the podcast, you'll know that.
Yeah. good update, Joe. Costa Rica, now at the second one in a row, now we wonder, like, are they legit? Are they good?
Because they've been in two in a row.
In a row. So Costa Rica is Butler basketball.
Yes. Is it just their coach or?
Or is it something more? They also have, I wish I had a direct parallel for this, but they have potentially the best goalkeeper in the world.
And just as a side note, if the Celtics had made it into the finals, Stevens would have been, and they would have gotten killed, but like taking Butler against Duke and then taking the Celtics, he would have been like taking the two greatest underdogs and lost.
Yeah, but what an underdog the Celtics are, Joe.
But in this instance, you've got to admit, they've also two best players.
Come on.
This is a side argument.
And finally, from our region, Panama. For Panama, this.
Panama!
Sorry about that.
Thanks.
They look real tough when they all get together in the jungles of Central America, but they're going to be eaten alive. Panama is the dudes from Predator.
Oh, nice. All the guys from Predator?
Wow.
Minus Schwarzenegger.
Right. Mm. And the Predator.
Yeah, so Jesse Ventura, Carl Weathers, all those guys, they'll all be eaten alive. Spoiler alert on Predator.
There we go. Okay. You learned that. Can you believe Predator had two United States governors in it?
Oh, my God.
Amazing. It's so far.
Right. The Predator the Predator is running in Georgia, congressman.
So those are my main ones. If you have any other questions, I
think, you know, now who is your pick? Let's just say that. And then we'll ask just a couple of the highlight questions here, and then we'll move on.
Sure. So picking it, you got to keep
in mind
that it is very rare for a country to win a World Cup outside of its continent. Now, the only team that has done it is Brazil and Spain. And Brazil.
Italy never did?
No, they've only won in Europe.
Wow.
Brazil won in Asia when an Asian team wasn't going to win, and Spain won in Africa when an African team wasn't going to win. So it just doesn't happen very often.
Right.
But Brazil is very good, so maybe they could. But basically, I'm not looking for any non-European team to make it to the final.
Okay.
Unless, you can't rule out Argentina or Brazil. I would love it to be Argentina because I do want Lionel Messi to have that. I hate when people can pull out the, but he didn't win the final boss or whatever.
Yeah.
Try to take away from an absolute great player's career. So I'm thinking it'll be France.
France. A team that people want to root against. I'm not even going to make a guess because I'm rooting for Argentina and that's all. And they'll be out early because I'm rooting for them.
Well, Grant Wall of Sports Illustrated
said that.
They'll be out in the group stage, which, like, their group is tough, but not that group. I mean, they'll beat Nigeria, and Iceland is going to get found out. I don't think Iceland's going to do anything.
Iceland, I feel like a team like Iceland
doesn't have a player who can keep up with Messi or three. You know, like I think the difference in talent on him individually, and that, like, he can score a goal any 45-minute period he gets out there.
Argentina has flaws, but beating Argentina is a lot different than beating England.
Yes, right, right. Absolutely. While both may have a lot of players in the Premier League, the Argentinian ones are better.
Yeah, again, there's a Lionel Messi thing as well.
He's a good guy. He's not in the Premier League.
He's
a good guy.
Classic good guy.
Good guy. Good guy.
We have some questions.
Used to be a goiter.
That's right. Very shimmery and shaky like a goiter. So we put out the word again to the ASFL, and thanks. And well, these are some quick questions. Any MLS players in the World Cup?
Yeah, I think Panama and Costa Rica both have a few, actually.
There we go. Is Mariano Rivera playing for Panama?
Mariano Rivera is playing at every position
nice.
For Panama.
Excellent. He's their closer.
And then, I believe you're referring to Panama!
Boop, boo, boop, boo, doo. Okay, so a couple of MLS players. That's good. Now a question. What MLS team is the most enjoyable to watch and why? That's really not a World Cup question, Maura. So we'll
Thanks.
Eliminate
no,
that.
No, go to Russia's questions.
Yes.
Thanks for
wow.
nothing.
Wow. So here we go. With the U.S. out, who should we be cheering for? We just did that for the whole thing. How much does a World Cup performance matter for a player's legacy?
That's a good question. And I think it doesn't matter as much as it used to because, to paraphrase Alex Ferguson, the World
As we all do.
The World Cup is the best football event, but the Champions League is actually the best football. And
because,
I think Champions League wins are a far better barometer of greatness nowadays. And they were before, because back in the day, the European Cup, before it was called the Champions League, wasn't as open to foreigners, like legally. You couldn't have all these Brazilians or Argentinians now.
Okay.
So now all the best players in the world play in the Champions League.
Yes.
And so I think that's part of why we know so clearly that Messi and Ronaldo are the best.
Yes.
So for Argentina not to be able to win with Messi, that's not on Messi, you know? That's like that's kind of like the Blazers never winning with Clyde Drexler, but you know.
And it's a little more
if Clyde Drexler was Michael Jordan.
And wouldn't you say it's a little more because of the infrequency of the tournaments, because of the not practicing as much with the teams.
Yep.
It's a little more up for grabs because in the Champions League, that's the team you play with all the time, practice with all the
exactly.
time. And like you said, the best players in the world play because they work it into their contract that if the team doesn't make the Champions League, they can get an out, right, in some cases?
Yeah.
And a country like Germany or France that is leaving guys off their World Cup team who would have been on Panama's team any day, all those French guys are in the Champions League. But the Panamanian, like, marginal World Cup guys, they're not even good enough to make the Champions League. And yet they're in this tournament because they're from that country.
Yeah, I mean,
like, Iceland doesn't have a lot of Premier League players.
They have more Premier League players, I think, for any other major league, just because they've got a few, they've got a bit of history there. You know, Idur Gudjonsson opened it up for them back in the
day. How could I forget Idur Good? IDG.
I gotta be honest with you. I drifted and drank water during
That's
that
fine.
Question. I space out on you sometimes.
And it was a spacey. It was time to space out. That tells us that we're at the end here.
Down.
I'll do one more question. Do you want to pick one of these questions that you like? And then Molly, get ready to tell us who you're rooting for because that's what people are really hanging on for.
Okay.
Oh, you already have it?
No, we already talked about it.
Wait, you picked your team?
Just go do this part and then I'll.
Okay. If you could change one rule, what would it be? And he's asking about doing a golden goal in overtime. They tried golden goal. Golden goal was actually a bad idea because it led to even more tense, nervous, cagey football in extra time. Like, teams wouldn't even try. They would just defend.
Right.
And so I think the golden goal is actually bad.
Yes.
And I think one of the best proofs of that was the USA-Belgium game at the last World Cup where we had three goals in extra time.
Right.
It was incredible.
Because once a goal gets scored, you've got that time to really open the game up.
Yes. I was at that game. It was crazy. Our penalty kick's a good way to end it. I think the better way, and this is talked about in the documentary Once in a Lifetime, is what the North American Soccer League used to do in the days of Pelé and Cruyff. They had shootouts. like hockey style shootouts where you would pick up the ball about 30 yards out.
So you get to come
and you
in.
Would dribble in.
How do you stop that?
Well, you got to make it. I think there was a shot clock too. You had to do it in like 5 seconds or something.
Oh, that's cool.
Once in a Lifetime, a great documentary. I highly recommend it.
That's not about David Byrne?
no, okay. That's Stop Making Sense.
Oh, right, yes.
Right, but he talks about the movie Soccer. Once in a Lifetime.
Okay, good.
Exclusively.
Good.
That's excellent. What the whole thing is.
All right. So did you already say your team? I'm sorry,
well,
Mom.
Bring it home, Molly.
I had said that my instinct was to root for Belgium. And
you did say it, but I didn't know if that had
followed
through.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with that.
You're going to stick with Belgium?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go with my
So you're going Belgium. I'm going Argentina.
I'm rooting for Argentina and Messi, but I got to admit, I have a soft spot for England enough that I would love it if they did well.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks.
Oh, and you know what?
Oh.
Some magazines are really forcing this down our throat, but I'm into it. I'm going to root for Mexico a little bit, too. I would never root for them against the U.S. Like, we are rivals and all that. But, like, you know, as an intelligent person of the world who has to look at a lot of other things.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't it be fucking awesome
if
Mexico
would.
Did really, really well?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So
this is a good time for the United States to root for Mexico.
Yeah.
Because there are some people who aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. So, tear down the wall.
Right, exactly.
Tear down the wall.
Oh, that would be great. That would actually be great. So so let's do it. Let's root for that. North Korea doesn't have a team in, right?
Not this year.
They're going to do their own World Cup next year. It'll be great. All right, that was the sports dump. Anything you want to plug, Brendan, before we go?
I have a documentary that I'm trying to raise money for via Indiegogo.
For a great game called
Scott, the greatest card game in the world. It's dying out. But if you go to my Twitter, which is Brendan Hunting, you'll see a link there, and we would love any donation you can give.
It's a good game. Is there some where they can look to find stuff out about that game?
Yeah,
just look up SKAT.
SKAT.
And not a German video. Oh, dear.
Again, just go to the Twitter. It's all there. Babies.
It's all there. All right. Have a good one. Bye.